Today is Palm Sunday, and this is our schedule and the announcements. The Mass today is a low Mass. There will not be the blessing of palms or procession. This is due to the coronavirus pandemic. Other churches around the country have canceled this ceremony, and the distribution of palms due to the danger that the palm branches may have been contaminated. We are having only the Mass today to protect everyone's health as much as possible. The rubrics and ceremonies of Holy Week are abbreviated according to the Catholic Church's traditional regulations. For small churches, depending on the availability of clergy and servers. The coronavirus policy is on our website, the complete statement. The summary is this: our chapel is remaining closed for now. Public masses are still canceled. Confession is available upon request. And the Holy Week schedule is this. You may view the masses and ceremonies on the live stream on our website. First of all, Holy Thursday. That's this coming Thursday, and that ceremony begins at 5 p.m. The next day, Good Friday, the ceremony begins at 3 p.m. The next day, Holy Saturday, the Easter Vigil, will begin at 10 p.m. That's Holy Saturday, 10 p.m. Easter Sunday, 10 a.m. The ceremony begins at 10 a.m. on Easter Sunday. So we repeat, Holy Thursday, 5 p.m., Good Friday, 3 p.m., Easter Vigil, 10 p.m., Easter Sunday, 10 a.m. Simply want to read to you the Epistle and Gospel for Palm Sunday. The Epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians. Brethren, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was by nature God, did not consider being equal to God a thing to be clung to, but emptied himself, taking the nature of a slave, and being made like unto men, and appearing in the form of man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even to death on a cross. Therefore God also has exalted him and has bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend of those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the glory of God the Father. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 9. At that time, when Jesus drew near to Jerusalem, and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. He sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me, and if anyone say anything to you, you shall say that the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them." Now all this was done that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "Tell the daughter of Sion, behold, thy king comes to thee, meek and seated upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. So the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them, and they brought the ass and the colt, laid their cloaks on them, and made him sit thereon. And most of the crowd spread their cloaks upon the road, while others were cutting branches from the trees and strewing them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and those that followed kept crying out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We say this to you now because of our present crisis in the world. Because of this crisis, this virus, no one is able to attend Mass or any of the ceremonies during the holiest time of the year. And so it is important that you practice your faith at home. And since we are not able to receive Holy Communion, especially on Sundays, it is important that you practice this very holy prayer called spiritual communion. So, this is something that has been recommended by so many saints. We can't begin to list them. And especially is it recommended by the Council of Trent. This is one of the greatest councils in the history of the church, Council of Trent. It was conducted and pronounced upon by many great saints. This is what St. Thomas says about this practice of spiritual communion. St. Thomas Aquinas. He says, it consists in an ardent desire to receive Jesus Christ in the Holy Sacrament, and therefore the saints were careful to make it several times in the day. The method of making it is this: My Jesus, I believe that thou art really present in the most holy sacrament. I love thee and I desire thee. Come to my soul. I embrace thee and I beseech thee never to allow me to be separated from thee again. Or more briefly, my Jesus, come to me. I desire thee. I embrace thee. Let us remain ever united together. And he says this spiritual communion may be practiced several times a day, when we make our prayer, when we make our visit to the Blessed Sacrament, and especially when we assist at Mass at the moment of the priest's communion. The Dominican sister, Blessed Angela of the Cross, said, if my confessor had not taught me this method of communicating spiritually several times a day, I should not have trusted myself to live. So this is what we do also. We practice spiritual communion. We do it several times a day. We do it especially by saying the Anima Christi, because all of us who are in the state of grace have the Blessed Trinity present in our souls. And they are here for us. We are meant to feel their presence. That's why they are here. And so we say the Anima Christi, and even though our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is not present in us all of the time, in his body, in his blood and soul and divinity, as he was with our Blessed Mother, who would remain with our Blessed Mother, our Lord and Savior, from one Holy Communion to the next. And there have been other saints who had this same privilege, like St. Anthony Mary Claret. We know that our Lord and Savior does not remain with us like this, but he does remain with us because we have the Blessed Trinity in us, and so we know that the Son of God is in us. And that's our Lord and Savior, isn't it? The Son of God. And so we say the Anima Christi to our Lord and Savior who is present in us, the Son of God. And we also say, and we have told you this before, we say, my sweet Jesus, we firmly believe that thou art really and truly present in the Blessed Sacrament of the altar, body, blood, soul, and divinity, whole and entire. We believe that you are our Creator and our Redeemer. And we love thee with our whole heart and mind and soul and strength. Please make us love thee like this. Blessed Mother, we love thee also, and we thank thee for everything. Please help us. Now we know that inside the Blessed Trinity, there are three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they are all three equal, even though they are distinct persons, three separate persons. They are equal in their knowledge, they have the same mind, the same will, the same knowledge, the same eternity, the same infinity, same almighty power, same existence, but they are three. This is inside the Blessed Trinity. But outside the Blessed Trinity, we say ad extra. We attribute different works to each of the divine persons. And so we say, God the Son became a man. He is here with us now in the Blessed Sacrament. But on this day, we see clear evidence of the Holy Ghost and the Father acting themselves here on earth. Also, don't forget that whenever any one of the three divine persons does anything, there is always the other two persons who are present with him. So even though we say the Holy Ghost is the one who sanctifies us, nevertheless, it is always the Father and the Son present with him when he sanctifies us, the person of love. God the Son became a man, but God the Father and God the Holy Spirit Ghost were always present with him at every single moment. Nevertheless, on this day we see evidence of God the Father and God the Holy Ghost acting, so to speak, on their own for the glory of the Son. Because on this day was this great public acclamation, great public liturgical worship of the Son of God, which we read to you. Our Lord Jesus Christ cooperated, but it was clearly, especially the Holy Ghost, with God the Father, who arranged for this great worship, public worship, of practically speaking, the entire city of Jerusalem, approximately 1 million souls, 1 million people. This was huge. And we say that it was clearly God the Holy Ghost and God the Father inspiring these people to proclaim the sonship of God, Jesus Christ, and that he was king. He was the savior of the world. They used this word Hosanna by inspiration, which means save us, we pray. But that was the literal translation. It simply was used as something like the Hebrew word Alleluia. It was used as an exclamation of happy victory. And they kept singing and praising our Lord and Savior as he rode through Jerusalem. And we say that it was clear that it was the Holy Ghost because only 5 days later, many of the same people who proclaimed him king demanded his death. So this was a unique and clearly divine inspiration. Notice it was on Sunday, exactly a week before the resurrection. Sunday. It was foretelling, looking forward to 1 week later, at the very same moment, so to speak, when Christ rose from the dead. It was a proclamation. It was foretelling that God would save the world through his death, would die for all men. Not that all men would be saved, we know that. Especially not those people who say there is no hell, or there is no one in hell. Those people in particular, we would suggest, are in hell. But he saved the whole world, and this day pointed to it, that he was going to be the sacrifice for all of us. He would die for everyone. And so this looks forward not only to his resurrection, to his death on the cross, salvation of the whole world, but it looks forward to, because Jerusalem is the symbol of heaven. So it looks forward to his resurrection and his ascension, where our Lord and Savior and all of the chosen people, chosen meaning who were saved, who had died and were going to heaven, he looked forward to their ascension 40 days after the resurrection. And you know what else? He looked forward to and promised all of us the same thing. and looked forward to the end of the world when we would all be in heaven and we would all be in this great procession in heaven. This was the most magnificent of all liturgical worship. It was certainly foreshadowed by the public worship that took place from the time of Adam and Eve up until this day, Palm Sunday. And all of those public acts of worship pointed to the redemption, what would take place on Good Friday. That, of course, was the greatest act of public worship ever. And so that will take place for all eternity in heaven. God the Son will offer himself to his Father from the cross. But this day was the most glorious act of public worship ever, that would ever be. It was the Son of God himself directing it, the Holy Ghost and the Father arranging it for him. And so we see that the palm, which they knew exactly what the palm represented, it was a sign of victory. And that's why we on Palm Sunday pass out the palm and we all hold it and we carry it in procession, renewing this public act of worship of the Son of God on this day. And this occurred for men of goodwill from that day until the end of time. Anyone who ever knows, whoever hears, is aware of this great victory march. It was like a ticker tape parade. Knows, if they know anything about it, they know that this was the Son of God. All men of goodwill. As soon as they learn what happened, it's clear to them. This was the Redeemer of all men. And so we, on this day, even in our homes, renew this act of worship. We are joined to the liturgy, especially through our fervent prayers and our spiritual communion. Fervent acts of faith and hope and love. Because we see, brethren, that despite everything that is happening to us at this moment, and that is happening to all the people around the world, when it appears that our enemies have been victorious over us and that we are not allowed to have public worship, it appears that our enemies have been victorious during this holiest time of the year. But remember that just as on Palm Sunday about 2,000 years ago, God was the one who arranged everything. And we know that God, the saints tell us, that God cannot allow any evil from which good does not come. So what great good is going to come from this evil that we are experiencing now? To show you the reality of what we say, we see that the greatest evil of all time, the death of the Son of God, was also the greatest good ever. redemption of mankind, and the greatest act of worship of God the Father. And so we know that everything that is happening now is perfectly within God's control. He has arranged everything through his enemies, through our enemies. And we will not lose. We will win. And this is the day that shows that God is in charge and that we will be the victors. May God bless you.